above. Let's go. Let's go finish the series. All right, before we go any further here, we got to bring on a guest here, Hugh, on the guest line. His name is Evan Roberts. He is part of the afternoon show with Tiki Barber up in New York. We heard what he said about all of us, Philadelphia fans, everyone at Citizens Bank Park on Sunday, and maybe, I don't know if he was there Saturday, too. And obviously, we got to get his take on the rest of the series. Evan Roberts from Evan and Tiki. Evan, what's up, man?
What's up, Evan?
Why are you groaning, Hugh? You heard him.
No. You know, Evan, to be honest, because I need some context of the stories that you were telling, man.
What happened?
It just kind of sounds like you were just, you know what I mean, man? It just don't sound like, you know, you just embellishing. Just a little
was
bit.
Was it the Tug McGraw jersey? Is that what got everyone going?
Well, first, let me say that the first thing I said in describing my experience in Philadelphia was that about 80 to 85% of you guys are classy. Now, I think that's a very low number. I think when you go to Citi Field today, if you do, that number's closer to like 95, 96%. But I do think the vast majority of you are passionate Northeast sports fans, and I respect that. But the 15% of you are just absolute scum. I ran into a lot of scum during my experience at Citizens Bank Park. Now, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have called you guys and said, hey, quick question. Should I take my wife, my 8-year-old, and my senior citizen dad to a playoff game? And you guys would have said no, and maybe I would have listened. So maybe it was my own fault for going. But, yeah, you got a lot of scum living in your city, and I experienced it, yeah.
Well, you made it out alive, right? Well, now, let's be fair.
Did anybody punch you in the back of the head?
Was it verbal, or was it anything physical? Because the verbal,
you got to expect
verbal, yeah.
Nothing physical.
Okay,
look, it may not sound this way because, I'm on the radio. We're on the radio. We're loud. We're excited. When the Mets had their moments, I respect being in a visitor's ballpark. So I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not screaming. I'm politely clapping. I'm cheering for my team. But I'm also not doing it in an obnoxious way. And I think the mistake that a lot of fans make is they go into someone's building and they're looking for trouble. I wasn't looking for trouble. We wore our Mets stuff and we were very respectful. But no one was physical. But I saw a lot of weird things. I mean, the guy behind me, I thought he was going to actually make love with his girlfriend right behind me. Like, they came very close. And my wife's like, should I say something? Our 8-year-old's right here. I was like, nah, don't just let them do what they got to do. It's not my problem, but it was fascinating to watch, that's for sure.
Well, to each their own. I mean, you don't get a rally like that very often.
What did he say? They were in the stands making out?
Well, almost, he said, yeah. Almost.
No. They were making out.
No, I was going to say, Joe, what is almost making out?
No, almost doing more than that.
They were making out. There was no almost. My wife was concerned it was going to go to the next level. She thought, oh, my God, like, he's just going to rip her clothes up. They're going to do it right there. And I said, look, if that happens, I'm sure security will take care of it. We're not getting involved.
You hope.
I give credit to girl's friend in the middle of this because I think they were both very inebriated. She said she got in the middle of it and said, look, I can't let this happen. And by the middle of it, I don't mean she got involved. I meant she split them up. But, yeah, luckily my 8-year-old didn't see any of it, though. I guess that would have been a good learning experience, right?
Well, it would have been something. Evan, let's talk about this series right now. So we're 1-1, heading back to Citi tonight. What's your feeling? We were discussing today who's in the driver's seat here. Evan, what do you feel on the series that the Mets take one, but then they lost the game that they could have had in a lot of different ways in game number two? What are you feeling as we hit game three?
So the majority of Mets fans are very, very confident. All right, they believe this series is going to end at Citi Field. They love the fight that this team has shown, and they've shown a lot of fight throughout the regular season. I'm sure you guys have seen it, what they did in the Milwaukee series. My feeling walking out of that building, you know, after I survived and got into the car, was the disappointment of the missed opportunity. I mean, they had a 3-0 lead in the seventh inning. Severino was dealing. Then they responded immediately and retook the lead going into the eighth inning. And then dramatically, they freaking tie the game in the ninth inning. Like, to me as a Met fan, I don't have that same optimism everyone else has because I feel like they missed an opportunity that this should be 2-0 going back to New York. So the majority of Met fans, and I think it's the excitement of hosting a division series game for the first time, since 2015. It's been a long freaking time for us, unlike you guys who now go every single year. So I'm a little nervous. I'm a little like, damn, they missed this great opportunity to be up 2-0. But I'll tell you right now, the majority of Met fans believe this thing is not going back to Philadelphia. I happen to disagree with them. I think for the Mets to win this series, they're going to have to go back into the belly of the beast. They're going to have to outlast Zach Wheeler in a game five and win there again. So that's how I feel. But I'm telling you right now, the Met fans I speak to, my fellow Met fans, they're borderline cocky.
I think you're right. It's going to take five. This feels like a five-game series to me. Evan, tell us about the shadows at Citi. It was a big thing here for the first two games. Philly's been an excuse after game one. They're swinging things in the dirt, and they're like, well, it's the shadows. It did feel like it affected both teams. Both teams had the better at-bats late in the game. Obviously, the big eighth inning for the Mets there in game one. Is that a big thing late afternoon at Citi Field? Because we're going to get these 5 o'clock starts next couple days.
Yeah, you know what's funny? We so rarely play 5 o'clock games. I don't even freaking know. I'm trying to think back to at this season. Like I said, we don't play playoff games. We've had so few of them. I think it's all a freaking excuse. I mean, go out there and hit. Like, to me, that wasn't an excuse in game one. Zach Wheeler was dominant. Zach Wheeler is a great pitcher. It still pains me that old ownership allowed him to go to Philadelphia. So, look, there'll be some shadows, but you got to deal with it. You know, Aaron Nola's been there before. Sean Manaea was pretty solid in his first postseason start. I don't think it's going to be a big factor at all.
Tell us about Manaea. He's had an interesting career. He's bounced around. I've always thought he could be pretty good, but never as good as he's been like this year. I mean, you watch him pitch this year. He looks like a different guy. Is he this good now? Is it just a hot run? Tell us about the Mets pitcher today.
So, Sean Manaea started the season off by being very average, very typical of his major league career. Believe it or not, when the Braves were in town back in the early summer, he watched Chris Sale, was just staring at him as he was throwing. And it changed a lot of Sean Manaea's philosophies on the mound. And he started making adjustments in which he tried to copy Chris Sale, which other than, you know, being a wuss and having back spasms and not being able to pitch in a playoff game, obviously you want to imitate Chris Sale, the pitcher. And, dude, like from that moment, Sean Manaea has been a different guy. He's been an ace-like pitcher. Now, I don't think of him as an ace yet because I think you got to do a hell of a lot more than just pitch really well for a few months. But he has been a completely different guy since that line of demarcation of kind of changing his philosophy around Chris Sale. He didn't have a great playoff history until that game in Milwaukee where he was solid. He didn't go very deep in the game, but he was solid. I think the Mets are going to need him to go deep into this game because as much as the Mets have the Philly bullpen, you guys are starting to hit our bullpen. And there aren't a lot of guys in the circle of trust, as I like to say, with this Met pen. So I need more than five innings out of Sean Manaea, which is what did when he pitched against Milwaukee back in game two of that wild card series. But he certainly has been a very different guy than he's been the last couple of years. And he's pointed to that experience of watching Chris Sale.
Yeah, he looks good. I don't even know what to do with the numbers I see because a lot of Phillies have good numbers often, but it just looks like a different guy. All right, let's end with this, Evan. Who's your most hated Philly right now? Because we do not like Vientos here, but that's really just based on performance. But Nimmo's the one. Nimmo and Alonso, people don't like him here. Give us your most hated Philly in this group.
It's not even close. And you guys, you eat out of his hands because you guys are a bunch of suckers down there. Bryce Harper is the biggest panderer in sports.
Well, we don't disagree with that, but he's right behind Gehrig and Ruth in postseason numbers.
He definitely
all he does is hit in October.
I respect him. I fear him. Trust me. When he came up, I'm sitting there in the upper deck, 422, to be exact, where I was sitting at the bank on Sunday. When he came up, after Trey Turner got on, and it's a 3-0 game, I had the fear of God in me that he was with one swing going to bring him back in the game. So a lot of this is respect. And look, you guys obviously respect our guys because look at the guys you named. You hate Mark Vientos. Yeah, because Mark Vientos walked into your building in the ninth inning and hit a game-tying two-run home run while you drunkards thought you were about to celebrate. Like, you respect him.
He sneaked this.
I have respect for Bryce Harper. He's a great player. He's an incredible panderer. He has you guys eating out of his hands. Ooh, let me put the Philly fanatic bandana on. That'll really show him. Dude, if the Mets were owned by Steve Cohen and not Jeff Wilpon, he'd have a Mr. Met underwear going right now because he'd be a Met, not a Philly. It's not like he would have.
What pandering? Just because he referenced Rocky after the game? You talking about that?
That was a lot.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, come on. Rocky, his Philly fanatic outfit. He's a kid who grew up in Vegas as a Yankee fan. Now he's Mr. Philly. Shut up with that. But I hate him. But it's a respect hate. He's an all-time great player. He puts the fear of God in me. And look, the Phillies, to me, this is my opinion, just as I'm being independent baseball mind. They are, as much as you guys and all you callers rip the team, this guy sucks, I think the Phillies are the best team in Major League Baseball, talent-wise. I do. I think they're better than the Yankees. I think they're better than those frauds in L.A. Like, this is the team to beat. I really believe that. I said that before the series. I say that now. You have a hell of a team. The problem is we're going to end your season, and then you're going to bitch about the bye like the Braves did. Losers.
Game 5, Wheeler on the mound. I know you're afraid of it. Evan, appreciate you hopping on, man. Enjoy the rest of the series.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
There
have
he goes.
One,
Evan man. Roberts, WFAN up in here. He had a couple sneak disses.
He was sneak dissing a little bit.
He doesn't want to see Wheeler in Game 5. I mean, you can feel that.
He definitely doesn't.
Yeah,
he
knows that's the one that got away
tonight.
For them.
Got to get it tonight. Got to have it tonight.
Because it's what I've been saying. Like, I say this at the risk of, I don't believe in jinxes, but there is no freaking way we lose the Wheeler versus bullpen game at Citizens Bank Park twice in a series. There's no way.
He's not giving up any runs to the Mets. They wouldn't even let him go to the 2015 World Series.
Still,
I said, buy your own tickets.
He's still fuming from
that. Of course he is.
Didn't forget it.
Can't forget that.
You would be too. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. We got a lot on the table here. Are the Phillies in the driver's seat? Trust Nola and his bone plan for his job. More audio from the Phillies on the environment in New York. What Schwarber said about that yesterday in your call. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friend, Dr. Rafi. Look, a lot of us, as we get older, our hairline, it goes, it disappears, it ends, it happens. I went to see an expert, the doctor I trust the most, Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant. It's a procedure many should consider. Are you newly single of an upcoming wedding or job interview or just want your hair back? Call Dr. Rafi. He can help. 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100. And get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. PhillyHairMD.com.